think I know where we are, too. I can just look at that map. Make sure I get that all the way up. Okay.
Okay, you ready to do a little urine transfer?
Go ahead, you first.
And Hadley Base, be advised you're still on box.
How about that?
Are you still box?
Nope. Down voice back up?
I bet we are, but we're hot mic.
Yes.
Dave and Jim, you're on hot mic now. But the medics are enjoying your comments.
Yeah, I guess we are. I bet they are. I bet everybody else is too. What do we say, Joe? See, we need the circuit breaker in too for the... See you?
You're clean.
Urine transfer.
Apparently, down voice backup. We're hot mic.
Let me turn on.
Falcon, this is Houston.
Go ahead, Joe.
Roger, Jim, we have a question that may bear on this minor water problem. We're wondering if you can tell or have a feel for whether you're in a crater or the slope of the spacecraft is perhaps caused by just a general slope of the Lorraine there. Any feel for that?
Off that stage.
Houston, Hadley.
Go ahead.
I guess to answer your question, we're not really in a big crater anywhere. I think there possibly one gear may be in one of these small craters. And as you might have heard Jim and I discussing, there's a rather high crater density. And I guess my references to trafficability were really to boulders, because that's what I was really most concerned with on driving the rover. There is a fairly high crater density around. And as I mentioned, they range up to probably 8 to 10 meters or so. And in our local area, let me give you a rough count of the 8 to 10 meter ones, I guess one every 15 to 20 meters. So there's a fair number of medium craters, nothing sharp, no boulders. And it may be that one foot pad is in one of these craters that range on down to maybe 2 meters or 1 meter. And then there's a sharp break in craters down to probably a foot or so. But it's almost like 14, as I remember their pictures. Quite a variety of crater sizes up to some certain limit. I don't see anything on the 25-meter scale that we hope to expose the bedrock in our immediate vicinity, although I can see some fresh ones, maybe some rims out through the window here at 10 or 11.
This is Apollo Control at 107 hours, 31 minutes. The news conference is ready to begin in the MSC auditorium. We'll take air ground off of this line now and tape for replay after the news conference. This is Apollo Control at 108 hours, 3 minutes. All still going well at Hadley Base, and we're still a minute away from acquisition of Endeavor on the 16th Revolution. We have 7.5 minutes of tape from Falcon accumulated during the news conference. We'll play that now.
7 o'clock, but I can't really account for our attitude right now. We'll have to just get out and take a look.
Roger, Dave, copied all that loud and clear. I phrased my other question poorly. Apparently the thermal people were worried that
if you were sitting in right in the bowl of a fairly deep crater, there'd be a certain focusing effect of the sunlight, and it may require more water to keep the spacecraft cool later on. That's a good answer we have from you. We'll have some more questions for you later on when you're comfortable and into your eat period if you're interested in talking at that time, and we'll be standing by.
Okay, Joe, there's so much here I could talk to you forever, but there's a large, I can see now, we were in zero phase, and without taking a close look out the front window, I couldn't tell you, but as I was coming down trying to select a spot to land, I was trying to avoid these 8 to 10 meter craters, and we have one out at our 4 o'clock, or I guess about 3 or 4 o'clock that I discussed before. There's one directly in front of us, almost, the rim is almost on the shadow of the radar antenna right now, and it appears to be an 8 to 10 meter one, and there's one over to our 10 o'clock. They're just all over, and it was sort of hard to find a spot that was really level.
Roger, we copy. And Dave, earlier you talked about specifically a very bright crater, I think, fairly nearby. Could you estimate for us the size, distance, and azimuth of that bright crater?
Anybody? I can tell you're still looking for our position.
No, that's not necessarily true. We think we're pretty well squared away on your position. This probably would cinch it down, though.
Okay, as we're unsuiting here, let me think that one over. I think we can pitch it down too.
Roger.
But before we go, I got to tell you about a rock that's right out at 12 o'clock. Right almost at the radar antenna shadow, and it's going to be gone pretty soon. There's a dark black angular fragment, which is on the order of probably, I'd say, 6 to 8 inches across. It's got some light-colored apparent dust on it. It's unique on the surface. All the other fragments appear to be white. And this one really looks like a jewel. You can think about that for a while.
Roger, we copy. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if there wasn't some thought given to that rock. And Dave and Jim, when you're comfortable, we'll call up our best guess to your position and let you think about that for a while.
Okay.
And you'll be very pleased to hear that your landing was not recorded on either of our seismometers on the moon.
Well, that's nice to know. You can tell the program manager that we certainly didn't buckle his engine bell for him.
Roger. And Jim, I just have to ask you, did you notice if the contact light came on or not?
You didn't hear me. Joe, I think Jim might someday qualify what he thought was what our landing velocity might have been.
Roger, I assume he was dividing everything by 10. And Dave, be advised the program.
No, I don't think so. I think we're.
Okay, Dave, be advised the program manager says he'll wait until tomorrow until he decides about that engine bell.
Okay, well, just tell him that I'll guarantee that it wasn't running when we touched down.